Why is the biggest news in the NHL not about the hockey that's being played, but the stuff that happens before the game?
Hashtag content.
Well, what I mean by that is I feel like the discussions about Pride Night have kind of overtaken a lot of, you know, the hockey news recently. Like, one of the big topics of, I think it was the Board of Governors meeting recently, was Pride Night. Like, shouldn't it be about, like, you know, the play on the ice, making sure there's fair competition and everything? Why? And suddenly, like, Pride Night is suddenly the biggest news item coming up from hockey. Like, it's kind of ruining the fact that, you know, hockey people want to come in and enjoy hockey. They like it just seems to me like Pride Night is a very important issue, but it just seems like, why can't we come to like a solution that works for everyone type of thing?
Okay, first off, I think the three of us come from one side of the argument that I think most people have, is that if our workplace asks us to, you know, wear a warm-up jersey for Pride Night, we would happily don it. So I guess there's that first part there. But the second part is, man, like, you know what's worse than not having Pride Night?
It's just canceling it like an hour prior.
No, it's that. And then also just whatever's going on now. This just amplifies the message in a negative way so much stronger. Like, you're not only are you not working positively towards it, you are giving news as actively moving against it.
So you started with Provorov, and then I think Mini didn't cancel it, but then a couple of teams canceled it. The Blackhawks did. Reimer himself said he didn't want to do it due to religious beliefs. And then as of this week, I want to say Eric Staal and Mark Staal came out and they were like, no, we're not going to wear the jerseys due to our religious beliefs. So that's a few prominent names, I would say, in the game who were like, no, we don't want to do this.
Like, why are we, like, emphasizing the point of people who are not wearing it? It should be, like, we should be focusing on Pride Night itself and not the people that choose not to participate in Pride Night, right? Like, there's too much publicity on the fact that, you know, these players are choosing not to. They're putting out statements that they're not wearing it and why they're not wearing it. And really, like, I don't know. Like Olsen said, like, we are on the side of thinking, like, you know, yeah, it's a warm-up jersey. I'm going to skate around for, 30 minutes with it. To me, it's a jersey. And for some people who have different beliefs and values, maybe they see it as an attack on their personal beliefs and values, which I can understand, but it's kind of almost become overblown. And the fact that they're having to cancel Pride Night, I think, is the worst part, because Pride Night is not just about wearing the jerseys, right? It's about the entire game, like, you know, all the events that happen with the game, like before, during the intermissions, all that. And we're now just focusing on warm-up jerseys, which is ridiculous.
I think it comes down to because they are different from everyone else. I think if you took a random team and none of the players wore the Pride Night jerseys except for one, that person would get talked about as well. You know what I mean? I think in that sense, it's a little bit different, but it's also just not a good look. You know what I mean? Like, it's very hard for hockey to be like, hockey's for everyone. And the last stories you've heard, and it also being, again, a prohibitively expensive sport to play, it really makes it really hard for the NHL to really have that hockey is for everyone, you know, mantra.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, there's no unity anymore, right? Like, the whole point, you know, hockey is for everyone, and everyone in the NHL stands for that, right? That should be the motto that's coming out from all these, you know, inclusivity events. But like, now with, you know, certain players just not choosing to wear it, you know, which to their own right, they're allowed to, but it just presents a different picture than what the NHL is wanting to, you know, provide, right? So, I mean, I don't know if there is a solution. Do any of you guys have like a solution or steps that maybe the NHL needs to get some fan feedback and be like, what should they be, like, what do fans want to see at Pride Night if, like, the players are choosing not to wear the jerseys? I mean, does Pride Night have to have players wear jerseys? This is kind of my question. Like, if they don't wear jerseys, does that make Pride Night not Pride Night?
If I remember correctly, didn't they have, like, stick tape last year?
Yep. Some teams still do it.
Yeah, and I don't remember hearing as much controversy about stick tape, right?
Yeah,
And don't get me wrong, I'm not advocating that you shouldn't have these nights. I think these nights are really important. I think your better bet might be to ask players who's willing to be involved in this to maybe, like, work with the community and do stuff off the ice. Like, I totally agree it should not be something that should be this controversial, but, well, there we are.
Yeah, like, I mean, do you be like, oh, if you don't want to wear the jersey, would you be willing to do stick tape? I mean, like, a lot of important too with the jerseys is that they're often auctioned off at the end of games, and the proceeds go to, like, foundations that support, LGBTQ plus communities and their foundations. So I can, I just don't know. I wonder if it just needs to be like, yes, the players can choose however they wish to support Pride Night. But then I feel like the NHL, like, and the, you know, the arena can be decked out, the entire game can be focused on, you know, Pride Night. But then maybe the players can be more selective in how they approach it, or I don't know. I feel like there's no good way around it. And, you know, I know how I started this and be like, what's the solution? But in reality, there's probably not an easy solution for, you know, the sudden sudden step forward from players saying that, oh, we're not participating in Pride Night anymore. Or teams being like, oh, we're going to have to cancel Pride Night.
Yeah, like, there's a huge, like you said, like, the pivot from certain players where it's like, you kind of didn't see it coming. Like, I didn't see Reimer or Stahl. You never know who has what beliefs. There's, like you said, there's no actual way of solving this. But, like, off the ice, commuter stuff, doing, like, putting, like, what's it, those towels, like, on each seat. That could be something to support it. Like, at the end of the day, there's, like, each one to their own, but it's just not a good look that you say it's all included, all inclusive, but then you have your stars or fairly known players going, no, sorry, not for me.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how Pride Nights are going to be, like, demonstrated in next season's games. I wonder what the Board of Governors they've talked about, or their GM meetings, how that's going to go and what maybe they're thinking. I mean, I just don't know if the Board of Governors know as much, because there's not much diversity in the government. Like, I just don't trust, you know, owners to know what to do. I feel like this needs to be brought back to the fans to ask them what would they like to see at the Pride Nights. Go to the LGBTQ foundations. What would they want to see for NHL for their Pride Nights? I think there needs to be something done, and hopefully this doesn't become such a topic for people to discuss instead of focusing on, you know, what are some pretty, like, tight playoff races. And, you know, like, the playoffs, most of the seeds aren't wrapped up at this point. So I just wish that we can focus back on hockey and not Pride Night. And, you know, that's what we're going to transition to. We're going to transition to talk about some hockey, actually. So let's get this episode started, shall we?
You're listening to the Bag of Pucks podcast, part of the National Podcast Network.
And we are back. We're going to go over to our former resident of the great province of Manitoba. And how we were before, we were mentioning, you know, the playoff seedings aren't fully wrapped up. There's been one team that's, I don't know, Olsen says they're struggling, but I see the record. They're 5-4-1 in their last 10 games. How are the Jets falling down the standings there, Olsen?
So it's weird with the Jets, right? Like, if you look where they are right now, and you'd be like, oh, they're fine. Like, they've got an 82.9% chance of making the playoffs. Like, they're probably going to grab one of the wild cards. It's fine. He's making a big deal out of nothing. But let's look back 2 months, right? So we're on the 24th today. If we look at January 24th. The Jets were second in the conference. And second in division, but they're second in the conference with 63 points. And currently, they are not doing well. I should know this. Currently, they are 85 points in 2 months. They are fourth in their division, and they are, I want to say, eighth in the conference, eighth or ninth in conference, eighth in conference. Yeah, like I don't know. It just seems like there seems like a waste. But I want to point out they're 5 points ahead of the Predators, and the Predators have 3 games on hand. The Avalanche are 3 points ahead, and they have 3 games at hand. Like, the Jets have played, I think, the most games in the conference. And I don't know. It's something about this collapse of this team that I think is underrated, that people are not noticing. I think if they didn't make the playoffs, maybe you would have more people noticing this. But that's not good for the Jets.
Now, would you say with the Jets' collapse, I wonder, you know, they did make some adds at the trade deadline to, you know, boost their depth. And, you know, it's kind of hard because they haven't really had a full team for a little bit, right? Dubois was out for a little bit. I mean, Perfetti is out for the rest of the regular season. So I feel like not having a steady top six has kind of affected them. And, you know, what you said in their kind of fall down the standings. Hellebuck's looked normal a couple of times, but I wonder, yes, the Jets are falling down the standings, but would you say maybe the teams above them have just done better and just passed them in the standings? It's not like the Jets were falling off. It's just that the teams that were below them got healthy and got better and, you know, moved up the standings over them.
See, I don't know. I think when it comes to the Jets, the longest losing streak they've had is 5 games. I think that's part of it. I think when you look at it, they kind of just win often enough where you don't really pay attention, right? They might lose like 3 in a row, then like win 1, or then maybe like lose 4, you know, lose 4 of the 7. You know what I mean? Where it's just like subtle enough where on a passing glance, you're like, oh, they're just kind of in a rough streak, but not collapsing like what I'm saying they are.
But like Jeffrey said, I think 2 months ago, the Avs, from what I remember, this entire season, the Avs had been injured. Like, they're starting to get guys back. But then, if I remember correctly, Dennis Malgin is playing first line minutes right now with Rantanen and McKinnon. So they're still, like, they're getting guys back, but they're still injured. Like, teams like that, they're getting players back. So they're getting better. They're, like, you know, I think the Avs make sense. Like, they're third right now, but if you look at how many games they've missed, I think it's definitely in the top, like, 5-10 in the league. Right?
So are you saying that the Jets are underperforming now, or are they performing to expectations and now everyone else is performing to expectations, and this is where they actually should be?
I think the latter, where I think this is where they should be. I don't know how, like, last year they weren't great, and I think the standout has been the Wild, where realistically, like, I think at most it'd be like, okay, wild card one, maybe third in the division, but like they're doing really well. They've been leading the division for most of the year. So the Stars, I kind of get, they're kind of like a sneaking under, like, they'll make it. And the Avs, they just won the cup last year. I'm not going to count them out. The Jets last couple years have been a bit rough. Like, Maurice left. He was like, I can't do this anymore. My voice isn't heard in the locker room. Like, Wheeler and Shifley, they've been there forever. Like, there was like a, like, you didn't really change much the last couple of years. So I don't think there's much to like change in terms of performance.
I do think though, Olsen, like I agree with Anson here, right? Like I think the Wild are overperforming by quite a bit, but I think the Jets are in a place where they are. Like we would probably say in that this division, they're probably the third best team. So I wouldn't be super surprised that, you know, they're kind of in a wild card fight. And I think I mentioned it before, right? Like they, since, you know, that time when they were second, their top six hasn't really been like settled with all their injuries. So I think that's really affected them. And I think, you know, it's a tough division too. Like, I mean, you get past, you know, the Coyotes and the Blackhawks, but all the other teams aren't fun to play against, right? So in my opinion, I think the biggest shocker was when you mentioned like the Preds, technically, if they win their three games in hand, they're above the Jets. I mean, again, the Preds have to win those three games that they have in hand, but I didn't think it was this close, especially since it seemed like the Preds had given up for the season with the trade deadline where they sold a couple pieces.
I mean, perhaps, but I would argue there's maybe a small chance that, at least there's an argument to be made that the Jets are just as good as the Dallas Stars. I know it's a controversial take.
No, I don't. I think they are. I think in a seven-game series, I think they're both fairly even.
Yeah, and so I'm saying that in their division, they're not the third best team. I'd say they're probably the second best team. I think they're better than the Wild. I don't think there's much of a question, to be honest, there either.
Oh, yeah, no. I have the Avs as the best team in that division if everyone's healthy. I kind of see what you mean by the Stars. Like, two good goaltenders, both, like, pretty good top sixes. Both recently coached by Rick Bowness, which is kind of funny. Both teams are pretty similar, but I think this season you got to give the edge to the Stars because they finally realized that they know how to score now, right? So I can see maybe, like, yeah, like if on paper, like no bias, probably, you know, the Stars and Jets aren't that far off from one another. It's just that maybe the Stars are overperforming with, you know, the Peter Laviolette's first season voodoo and then will fall off after. And the Jets maybe just dealing with injuries and just, you know, it's new coach in the room, which they've really responded to. But maybe they've just hit a rut that, like you said, we haven't really noticed.
I don't know. There's something about this team. Like, is it just me or do you also get the vibe? There's something in Winnipeg, in the locker room or something, that the team is always missing something. I don't think it's talent. I don't know what it is, but it's missing something, right? Like you mentioned, they've got great top sixes. I would say their defense is pretty solid. Like, Josh Morrissey is elite, you know, based off this year alone. He's elite. I'd say Neil Pionk has probably regressed a little bit, but I would say he's a very serviceable top four. Same with Brendan Dillon. Same with Nate Schmidt. And then if you look at their bottom six, like, they've got what you need from a top six. You know, like, Adam Lowry is a good top six centerman. Same with Nemestikov on the wing. Like, this third line, Appleton on the right, good, serviceable. It's something that I don't know what it is that they're not performing. I can't put my finger on what exactly they're missing, but if you look at that team, like, it's a very solid team.
And I think you make your point there. You say good, you say solid, but do you ever say great? Right? They're in that wild zone where they have good teams, but they never make it into a great team, right? Like, I would say, yeah, you know, Nemestikov, Lowry, Appleton, that's a good third line. It would be great or even amazing if they were that fourth line, right? Nemestikov was a fourth liner with the Lightning, right? And now he's playing third line, right? Like, Lightning have a really good team then, right? Like, if they can afford to play Nemestikov on the fourth line. So I always think that, I wouldn't say good, but they've always had a serviceable bottom six that's done what they've needed to do, but they've just never had that extra depth score, right? Their bottom six is always very defensively focused because maybe their top six isn't as, you know, defensively minded, which is fine. But when they really need that extra goal scoring, I always find their bottom six just doesn't do enough.
If he wasn't injured, I would say Cole Perfetti plays the third left wing. And that means Nemestikov's on the fourth line left wing. And I would say their top six is great. I would say Ehlers, Scheifele, Wheeler. Taking this year, of course, not looking at his past years. Connor, Dubois, Niederreiter is a great top six.
Niederreiter?
Niederreiter is the one I'm like, all right, okay, I see the argument for it. But the other five players, I think, make great top five, six.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, I think those first five guys you named could probably play, like, top, like, first line in on half the teams in the NHL, I would say. So, I agree with you. I think that, like, Winnipeg's produced some pretty good teams. But oh, we can always say good, we can never say great with them. And I think this little rut maybe just brings them back to the mean. Maybe they overperformed a little bit. I mean, Josh Morrissey's kind of not fallen back down to earth, but, you know, he's not the, you know, leading goal, like, point-getting defenseman anymore type of thing.
Are they missing, like, I don't know, like a wow factor? Like the Stars have Robertson, where it's like, this guy will be, like, the guy for us tonight, or most nights.
Would you say, like, Connor is, like, a kind of a Robertson-ish guy?
Yeah, I would say Connor is this guy for them, right? Like, Kyle Connor is elite. He is that guy.
Yeah, I'm just kind of asking. It's more like a... I think for both teams, I kind of agree. It's like there's something about it where, like, they're missing a piece. You can't figure out what that piece is. But for me, as at least looking at it, I'm like, oh, hey, for Dallas, I can be like, okay, if there's a guy I want to turn to at like any point in the night to get me a goal, it would be like Robertson. I think last year would be Connor, 100%. I think this year there's been more, I think due to injuries, like Ehlers has only played like, what, 30 games, which is not fair. So I think, like Jeffrey said, I think there's a bit of like guys are starting to fight or trying to find their stride with one another because they, you know, a few guys missed so many games where it's not the same.
I would say it's not fair, but look at the pace Ehlers is on. That is a ridiculous pace for who he is.
I mean, Ehlers has lost, kind of been snake bitten a little bit with his goal scoring. I think he's got like a really crappy, like, what's like a really crappy shooting percentage or anything. But I think the greatest way to solve this discussion is that Stars and the Jets, you know, just have to face each other in the playoffs, and then we'll know who's the better team, who was overperforming, who was underperforming this season. I think that would just solve all the issues here, or all this discussion, give us a final result on whether the Stars or the Jets are the same team, or is one team significantly better than the other. Anyway, it's been a couple of weeks, or a couple of episodes at least, because that we've had to push back Geography of Geo, because we've had some pretty busy weeks. And, you know, today, as a slightly shorter episode, I think this is a perfect episode to fit in a Geo with Geo. How does that sound, boys?
I'm already miserable.
We can just end it early.
No, we need to give our listeners, you know, what they want. Everyone loves Geo with Geo. It's why Olsen asked for it last episode. It's why he asked for it two episodes ago.
Yay! I love Geo with Geo.
That sounds like Olsen's fault. I'll be honest with you.
It might be.
I'm just a sucker for the paint, what can I say?
Yeah. Well, I think Olsen might like this. The topic of this Geo with Geo, because we are now the unofficial podcast for the Free Nils Höglander movement. So this episode, this Geo with Geo is all focused on Nils Höglander. So you might be asking, how can we do geography with a guy, like one player? So we're actually going to promote Nils Höglander and talk about his career, and we're going to do some fun things with some geography somehow. So we're going to have to thank Google Maps. Basically, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you guys two sets of places, and you're going to tell me which distance between two places is larger. Does that kind of make sense?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
I hear the pain in their voices already. It's not good. Not good. But yeah, we're going to go through the career of Niels Hoglander and kind of go from there. So Niels Hoglander was born in Bocktrass, Sweden. And he first started playing professional hockey for AIK, is my guess, which is his first Allsvenskan team. Before he moved to Rögle the next year to play there. So that travel, you know, going from his home, his birthplace to his first place is Stockholm. So from Bocktrass to Stockholm versus from his first Allsvenskan team to Rögle, so his first SHL team, which distance is longer? So Bocktrass to Stockholm or Stockholm to Ängelholm? We'll alternate back and forth, and we'll go first with Anson there.
There's no, is there a number?
There's a distance, and this is the distance from Google Maps when I type walking distance from one place to the other.
Alson?
Walking distance. Okay, can I ask the, for just one of them, I don't care which one, can I know what the walking distance is in time? Just one of them. I don't care. I don't need to believe. I just
can
one of them.
You give me some filler while I try to figure this out on Google's map?
Sure.
I have the distances. But actually, no, why don't I give you the distance for the first set, and you have to tell me the distance for the second set? If it's not going to be larger or short, or like longer or shorter?
Sure. We'll do an over under. Let's do that.
Hey, Olsen. Yes. Remember, he said this was easy.
He's made it easier by making it over under.
I forgot the cities already.
I think Bocktrack was one of them. Was that correct?
Yes, it was Bocktrask. And I apologize if I'm pronouncing any of these places incorrectly.
And then there is Stockholm.
Yes.
And then I don't remember the other one.
So going from his AIK, his first Allsvenskan team, to his first SHL team in Ängelholm, Sweden.
Ängelholm, okay. So while Jeffrey figures out the distance and the time, yes, we were told this was supposed to be easy. So unfortunately, I know it's crazy. I know it's Friday afternoon. I didn't spend my afternoon just studying up on my Swedish geography, or I guess geography or map topography. I don't know, one of those two. I don't know. It
this
just
is a different continent.
This is a lit Friday night deal. So, I mean, we recorded too early. You know, my Friday nights, that's what I'd love to do. Go onto Google Maps and just be like, Bocktrask to Stockholm. And I already forgot the name of the other one again. That's Stockholm.
So, I have all the distances. I just didn't have the time. But I will tell you, from Bocktrask... So, we're doing over-under now, right? Okay,
yeah.
So Bocktrask to Stockholm. So, that's the birthplace to first... professional team, let's just call it. It was 170 hours on but I will give you the distances because that's the most important part now. So Bocktrass to Stockholm is 832 kilometers walking. Is the distance from Stockholm to Ängelholm higher or lower?
I'm saying lower because last two have homes, so it's just like maybe like they named one and they're like, well, this is kind of like Stockholm, so let's just call it like Ängelholm. I don't know.
All right, Anson.
I am offending so many people right now.
Higher, because we one of us has to be right.
That's the spirit.
All right, so Bocktrass is actually in the upper regions of Sweden, while Stockholm, as most people know, is in the lower parts. And like Alison said, all the homes are kind of together. So Ängelholm is also in the southern part of Sweden. So the distance is 560 kilometers. So it is lower. So Alison gets 1 point.
I'm the best.
Yeah, but how many people did you offend?
Oh, there is probably an entire nation at my door right now just waiting to just destroy my door and murder me.
Okay, guys, we need to focus on Niels Hoglander here. Let's not focus about the Swedes being mean. Our next topic is, you know, Niels Hoglander is kind of famous for his Michigan goals.
I'm just going to jump in here. If I listen closely, it seems like the people are leaving from my door and they're going to Jeffrey's house right now. Sorry, continue.
All right. if we hear a knock and you hear a cut in this episode, you guys know why. So he has scored 3 Michigan goals. So normally you want to ask like the time in between each goal in terms of like, you know, when was this the last time he scored a Michigan goal? But this time we actually want to know the distance. So the first time he ever scored a Michigan goal, it was against, oh goodness, Djurgårdens in the SHL, which is in Stockholm again. And the second time he scored a Michigan goal was at the World Juniors in 2020 against Finland. And this was in the Czech Republic in Třinec. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. But that distance is 1,204 kilometers. The walking distance on Google Maps suggested we use a ferry. So that distance is a little bit shorter than just walking. But maybe if you're walking on the ferry, it counts. So that's the first distance from his first Michigan goal to his second Michigan goal. The third.
Sorry, I get lost. Can you not use the first Michigan goal and the second Michigan goal? Can you give me the city names
okay.
again?
Okay, Stockholm to Třinec.
Okay.
So that's 1,204 kilometers.
Okay, there's no home in the second city. Okay.
Oh,
I told you guys.
So you got a ferry.
I told you it was in the Czech Republic. It was at the World Juniors.
Yeah, we listened very well.
Okay. So from his second Michigan goal in Třinec to his third Michigan goal against Fargestad in the SHL. And that's in the city of Karlstad. So is the distance from Stockholm to Třinec, which is 1,204 kilometers. The distance between Třinec to Karlstad, is that going to be higher or lower than 1,204 kilometers? I will go to Anson first because Austin answered first last time and it's in the lead.
Higher. I'll keep saying higher for this entire game because I don't know what's happening anymore.
I am somewhat paying attention still, so I'm going with higher as well because Stockholm is in the bottom half of the country.
Oh, wow.
Plus, the Czech Republic is south of Sweden, right? So that's probably a bit closer there. Even though, and to go to the Czech Republic, it says to catch a ferry. I feel like you can walk to that, to Farstad. I don't know the city name. I'm listening to Jeffrey say it, and I'm just repeating it back to him.
And there's no home. And there's no home in the
other. No days. Home too. Smart guy. Yeah, smart guy. That's our final answer, Jeffrey.
So Karlstad's on the western side of Sweden, and Czech is actually on the more middle eastern Europe side. So you're right. The distance between Třinec to Karlstad is 1,309 kilometers. So you guys are both correct. It was higher. So Olsen's in the lead 2-1 against Anson. All right, let's move, you know, back to, you know, North America. I feel like we did some Swedish geography. We got to move back, you know, later in his career. So Nils Höglander was drafted 40th overall by the Vancouver Canucks in the 2019 draft. The pick before him was the 39th overall pick, obviously, and that was going to Anaheim, and they drafted Jackson Lacombe. The pick after Nils Höglander was the 41st pick, and that was to Las Vegas, and that was for Kaden Korzak. Now, we always ask ourselves, you know, what if this person was drafted one earlier and one after? So, if Nils Höglander was drafted either by Anaheim or Las Vegas, so the distance between Vancouver to Anaheim is 2,141 kilometers. Is the distance between Vancouver to Las Vegas higher or lower? Let's go to Austin first here.
Sorry, what were the first set of cities again?
Vancouver to Anaheim. So if he got drafted 39th overall versus 41st
Vancouver
overall.
Vancouver to Anaheim versus Vancouver to Vegas?
Yes.
Oh, Vancouver to Anaheim is closer.
So you're saying that Vancouver to Vegas is higher?
Yeah.
Okay, Anson?
Sure. Yeah, what you said.
You guys have to remember, Anaheim's a little bit farther down the coast, and Nevada's, even though they're parallel, Nevada's actually a little bit further north than the Los Angeles metropolis. So the distance from Vancouver to Las Vegas is actually 1,937 kilometers. So that's actually less than the distance to Vancouver to Anaheim. So Anson, you sure just went with the idea of just going the opposite of Olsen every single time.
Yes, well, I'm paying so much attention right now.
My knowledge is only for Sweden, okay? I only focused on my Swedish geography.
The homes.
Yes,
Oh, God. All right. So we've got two more questions left, and we're going to focus right now on Nils Höglander's NHL career. So he started playing in the 2020-2021 pandemic season in the NHL, and he actually scored a goal in his first career game, and that was against Edmonton. Unfortunately, he's kind of fallen off a little bit. We all know he's in the AHL. Olsen and has been mentioning about freeing Nils Höglander from the Vancouver Canucks organization. His last goal was with the San Jose Sharks on December 7th, 2022. So the distance from Vancouver to Edmonton, which is the place of his first career goal, is 1,197 kilometers. Is the distance from Vancouver to San Jose, where he scored his most recent NHL goal, high, like farther or closer? Let's go to Anson first.
I don't know.
Higher.
Closer.
Anson should not listen to my advice, because he should just trust his instincts next time.
Oh, yeah. So we shouldn't play this again then. That's what I'm hearing.
Well, I mean, Vancouver to Edmonton, come on. Like, that's why you heard Austin just butt in early, even though it wasn't his turn, and he started laughing.
Yeah, and we're paying attention so well to...
Oh, no, I wasn't answering. I was fully just making fun of Anson, being like, here's two cities, which was closer, and for Anson just to be like, higher.
Well, it is higher. So Vancouver to San Jose is 1,688 kilometers versus the 1,197 kilometers between Vancouver to Edmonton. So we've now seen Olsen take a 3-1 lead over Anson. But we got to make it interesting. So this last question is worth 2 points. So Anson has a chance to tie, or Olsen can run away a big winner here. And I forgot to mention, topography is the study of elevation on maps for, it's not geography, also, so I'm sorry. All right, let's start with this is now we're going to focus on his AHL. So, as we all know, Nils Höglander was demoted to the AHL for the first time this season, not really performing well with the Vancouver Canucks, or the Canucks not giving him a chance, we're not really sure. So he scored his first ever AHL career goal this season against the Manitoba Moose in Winnipeg. So the distance between the Vancouver's affiliate, Abbotsford, to Winnipeg is 2,198 kilometers. And his most recent AHL goal at the time of this recording on the Friday, March 24th, was on March 17th, St. Paddy's Day, against the Ontario Reign. So we know the distance between Abbotsford to Winnipeg, 2,198 kilometers. Is the distance between Abbotsford to Ontario further or closer? And let's ask Anton, since you are losing. Would you like to go first or second? Would you like to be influenced by Olsen or not?
I don't care. I'll choose the opposite of Olsen.
All right, just because we're spicy, I will say Abbotsford to Winnipeg is closer because Abbotsford is from British Columbia. Ontario is, I want to say, central or a bit more. I think central California. I'm going to go with Abbotsford, though. It is closer to Winnipeg.
All right. And Anson, you're going to go lower, Dan. Like, you're going to say closer, right? That
whatever he didn't choose.
Okay. Well, Anson has made the comeback. It's tied 3-3 because Abbotsford to Ontario. Not the province, but the city, for those who are Canadian citizens who don't realize that some cities can be named Ontario too, is only 2,056 kilometers away. So just about 150 kilometers closer to Abbotsford. So Anson tied it up 3-3. Well done, Anson. So I think, actually, I don't have a tiebreaker, to be honest.
Let's leave it as tied.
Yes. You guys can both enjoy the spoils.
Hey, your check's in the mail, Olsen.
Yeah, I am. I'm okay with tied because my specialty is clearly in Sweden. Because clearly I lied and I spent all these days staring at Swedish maps. Don't ask me to look for any other maps but a Swedish map.
Oh, goodness. All right. Well, that was it for Geo with Geo this week. Sounds like we might not have one for a little while, but if we hear any of our other co-hosts start mentioning about it, you guys know that we might have another Geo with Geo sometime. So let's just move to our final thoughts. I feel like everyone's ready to enjoy their Friday night, maybe look at some more Swedish maps, maybe learn what topography means, or maybe, I don't know, just enjoy the weekend. Let's first start off with Anson.
Hey, the tank job, I know we keep saying like the race for whatever, it's great. But the tank job at the bottom is, it's going. Between the Jackets, Sharks, Hawks, and Ducks, they're fighting for that number 32. So I'm actually more interested in that now than the whoever's making the race.
All right, Austin.
Free hug! Free hug. That's it.
All right, well, hopefully everyone enjoys their weekend. I think the first day of spring was just a couple of days ago, so hopefully the snow starts melting and people can enjoy the outdoors again. Not that you can't enjoy the outdoors while it's winter, but for most people, they can now enjoy it without the snow on the ground. So have a great weekend, have a great 2 weeks, and we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Bag of Pucks Podcast, part of the National Podcast Network. You want to complain about us? You can tweet us at BOP_POD on Twitter. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.